Ever considered a scenario where the government's pursuit of justice might actually cross a line, so significant that a criminal case gets thrown out entirely? Sounds almost like a legal urban legend, right?
Yeah, it really does.
But that's precisely what we're diving into today. We're taking a close look at Commonwealth v. Manning, a pivotal 1977 decision from the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court. This isn't just about legal history. It's a powerful illustration of the Sixth Amendment in action and, a stark reminder of the boundaries of law enforcement power. For you, especially as you're navigating the complexities of the legal field, this case offers some really critical insights into the ethical dimensions of our justice system.
That's right. Commonwealth v. Manning, Massachusetts SJC, 1977. It grapples with a fundamental tension. At what point does misconduct by government agents become so severe that dismissing a criminal indictment is the only appropriate response?
That's a huge question.
It is. It's a drastic remedy, and this case provides a clear example of when the court deemed it necessary. For you, as future legal professionals, understanding the nuances of the court's reasoning in Manning is, well, crucial. Crucial for grasping the delicate balance between effective law enforcement and safeguarding individual rights.
Right.
This case, at its heart, underscores a fundamental principle. The integrity of the process is just as vital as the pursuit of a specific outcome.
That's a key distinction.
Absolutely. Allowing such blatant interference, even if it led to the conviction of someone who may have committed a crime, risks eroding public trust in the entire legal system. We kind of suggest that the ends justify the means, which is a dangerous precedent to set.
Okay, so let's paint the picture then. What were the circumstances that led to the Supreme Judicial Court ruling? What's the story behind the case?
Okay, so the case centers on Kevin Michael Manning. He was ultimately convicted of distributing cocaine. However, the methods employed by federal agents leading up to that conviction were deeply problematic. We're not talking about minor procedural gaffes here. The agents actively attempted to coerce Manning into becoming an informant.
Okay.
And even more troubling, they deliberately targeted his relationship with his attorney.
Wait, they intentionally tried to undermine his connection with his own lawyer. How did they actually go about doing that? Can you give us a specific example?
Absolutely. The record reveals some pretty flagrant interference. For instance, agents directly told Manning that his lawyer was, quote, selling him down the river.
Wow.
They pressured him to cooperate with them, specifically urging him to do so without his lawyer present.
No way.
Yeah. This wasn't just a passing remark. It was a sustained effort to create distrust between Manning and his legal counsel, to isolate him, basically, and
Yeah.
make him more susceptible to their pressure to cooperate.
That sounds incredibly concerning. So when this came before the court, what was the initial reaction?
Initially, the trial court actually denied Manning's motion to dismiss the indictment. And incredibly, the judge at that level characterized the agent's misconduct as harmless.
Harmless. That's astonishing, given the deliberate nature of the interference you just described. So, what was the next step in this legal journey?
Well, the case then made its way to the Massachusetts Appeals Court. That court recognized that the trial court had fundamentally misunderstood the significance of the agent's actions.
Okay, so they saw the problem.
Right. They acknowledged that the misconduct was indeed serious and ordered a new trial as the appropriate remedy. Their reasoning was, essentially, that a new trial would address the violation while still allowing the prosecution to pursue the charges against Manning.
But that wasn't the final word, was it? The Supreme Judicial Court then took up the case and went even further.
Exactly. The Supreme Judicial Court agreed with the appeals court that a serious constitutional violation had occurred. However, they didn't believe that simply ordering a new trial was a sufficient remedy in this specific situation. They ultimately decided to dismiss the indictment entirely. This escalation in the chosen remedy is a critical aspect of the case to grasp. It really underscores the profound level of concern the highest court in Massachusetts had regarding the government's conduct.
So the appeals court saw the misconduct but thought a new trial was the answer.
Right. And now we need to understand why the Supreme Judicial Court felt a more drastic remedy was needed.
Yes, let's really dig into that. What were the fundamental legal principles at stake here? Why did the Supreme Judicial Court feel it necessary to dismiss the entire case?
Okay, the core legal issue at play is the violation of Manning's Sixth Amendment right to counsel.
Right to a lawyer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Sixth Amendment guarantees a defendant the right to have legal representation. And that right is, well, inextricably linked to the ability to have confidential, unimpeded communication with your attorney. The agent's actions directly attack that fundamental relationship.
When the government actively attempts to erode the trust and open communication between a defendant and their lawyer, it strikes at the very heart of this constitutional guarantee. This also brings in the issue of prosecutorial misconduct, because these federal agents were acting in concert with the state prosecutor.
And why is this attorney-client relationship held in such high regard in our legal system? What are the fundamental consequences when the government attempts to interfere with it?
Well, the attorney-client relationship forms the very foundation of our adversarial legal system. It ensures that individuals facing criminal accusations have someone dedicated to their defense.
Their champion, essentially.
Precisely. Someone who can provide informed legal advice, protect their fundamental rights, and present their case effectively. If the government were allowed to freely interfere with this crucial relationship, it would create a significant power imbalance, you know, tilting the scales of justice unfairly.
Makes sense.
It would discourage defendants from being completely honest with their lawyers, fearing that their private communications could be used against them, or that their lawyer's advice might be compromised due to government pressure. Ultimately, it would undermine the fairness and integrity of the entire legal process.
Okay, so the Sixth Amendment violation seems clear. But can you walk us through the Supreme Judicial Court's specific reasoning for taking the very serious step of dismissing the indictment? What were the key factors that they emphasized in their decision?
Sure. The court's reasoning really turned on three crucial elements: the deliberate intent behind the agent's actions, the resulting impact of that misconduct on the attorney-client relationship, and the overarching need to protect the integrity of the judicial system.
Intent, impact, and integrity.
Okay. They emphasize that the agent's behavior wasn't accidental or due to negligence. It was a, quote, deliberate and intentional attack on the attorney-client relationship. This element of intentionality was a very significant factor in the court's decision.
So it wasn't just a mistake. It was a calculated move.
Precisely. And because a fundamental constitutional right was violated in such a deliberate manner, the court invoked the legal principle of presumptive prejudice.
Presumptive prejudice, right. You mentioned that.
Think of it this way. The violation is so significant that the court doesn't wait to see if it actually harmed the defense. The potential for harm is so great that the government has to proactively prove the violation didn't matter.
So the burden shifts.
Exactly. It's a much higher bar than the usual harmless error analysis you'll encounter.
Uh-huh.
In Manning's case, the prosecution simply could not meet that burden.
That's a really important distinction. Presumptive prejudice shifts the burden onto the government.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of deterrence. The court explicitly stated that dismissing the indictment was a necessary step to send a clear and strong message that this type of government misconduct would not be tolerated in the Massachusetts justice system.
Right.
Chief Justice Hennedy, in the court's opinion, specifically emphasized these prophylactic considerations. Essentially, the court wasn't just fixing the problem in Manning's case. They were trying to prevent this kind of misconduct from happening in future cases.
Like a warning shot.
Sort of, yeah. It's like taking preventative medicine, addressing a potential systemic issue before it becomes widespread. The court felt that simply ordering a new trial would not be sufficient to deter such egregious behavior in the future.
So the court was considering the broader implications, aiming to safeguard the system itself.
Absolutely. Their concern extended beyond just Manning's individual case to ensuring that all defendants have a fair opportunity to mount a defense, and that fundamentally includes the right to effective and unimpeded legal counsel. The integrity of the judicial system hinges on this.
Now, the appeals court believed that a new trial was the appropriate way to address the situation. Why did the Supreme Judicial Court so strongly disagree and instead choose to dismiss the indictment with prejudice? That seems like such a drastic step.
It is drastic. The court was deeply concerned that even a new trial would be unable to fully undo the fundamental damage caused by the government's interference. The agents had already attempted to poison the well, so to speak.
Right, by attacking the trust.
Exactly, by trying to destroy Manning's trust in his lawyer. The court explicitly stated, and this is a really powerful quote, "The indictment is so inextricably interwoven with the misconduct that dismissal is the only remedy."
Wow, inextricably interwoven.
Yeah, they reasoned that the misconduct had so fundamentally tainted the entire process leading up to the indictment that a retrial, based on the same underlying charges, would still be inherently flawed by those initial violations. Dismissal with prejudice, meaning the charges could not be refiled,
underscored the profound severity of the government's transgression in this case.
That quote really highlights the gravity. It wasn't just a minor oversight, it went to the very core of the legal proceedings.
Yeah.
So what are the wider implications of Commonwealth v. Manning for legal professionals, especially, you know, for the students listening?
Well, Manning serves as a really potent reminder that the pursuit of a conviction, regardless of the seriousness of the alleged crime, cannot justify violating fundamental constitutional rights.
The ends don't justify the means.
Exactly. The court's decision sends a clear message that the judiciary has a vital responsibility to act as a check on potential government overreach and to prioritize the protection of these essential rights. For future legal professionals, this case underscores the paramount importance of ethical conduct, not just for prosecutors, but for law enforcement agencies too.
Right, across the board.
It reinforces the principle that a fair and just process is just as critical as achieving a particular outcome in a legal case.
Let's just quickly revisit some of the key legal concepts that are central here. You've mentioned presumptive prejudice and dismissal with prejudice. Could you briefly clarify those again and also maybe reiterate the significance of the attorney-client relationship in this specific context?
Sure. So presumptive prejudice, as we discussed, means when a fundamental constitutional right, like the right to counsel, is violated significantly, the court presumes harm. The burden then shifts to the prosecution to prove it was harmless, that it didn't impact the fairness.
Okay.
Dismissal with prejudice, that's the final stop. It's an absolute termination of the charges. The defendant cannot be tried again for the same crime. It's an extraordinary remedy, really reserved for significant government misconduct or other fundamental flaws.
Got it. And the attorney-client relationship.
That relationship, protected by the Sixth Amendment, is that confidential privilege bond between a lawyer and client, essential for open, honest communication, which is crucial for effective representation. The government's deliberate attempt to undermine that bond in Manning is what triggered the court's strong, decisive response.
Now, while this case provides a strong condemnation of government overreach,
yeah,
are there any nuances or potential misunderstandings that someone studying this case should be aware of?
Yes, definitely. There's a crucial point of caution here. While Manning is a powerful precedent, it's really important to understand that dismissing an indictment is an exceptionally rare remedy in the American legal system.
Okay, that's key.
It's not something that occurs due to minor procedural errors or even, like, simple negligence by law enforcement. Manning involved intentional and pervasive misconduct that directly targeted a bedrock constitutional right.
Right, the intent was central.
Exactly. It's crucial not to interpret this case as suggesting that every misstep by the government will automatically lead to dismissal. The misconduct has to be truly egregious, demonstrably intentional, and significantly undermine the fundamental fairness of the legal proceedings.
That's a really vital clarification. This isn't a free pass for every procedural mistake. It has to be something profoundly serious and deliberate.
Correct.
So as we conclude our deep dive into Commonwealth v. Manning, what would you say is the most important takeaway for aspiring lawyers listening to this?
I think the central message from Commonwealth v. Manning is that it stands as a critical example of the severe consequences that can result from intentional government misconduct that infringes upon a defendant's fundamental right to legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
It powerfully illustrates how courts must strike a balance between the essential goal of achieving justice and the absolute imperative of protecting constitutional liberties. When the government acts in bad faith and deliberately violates these liberties, even in pursuit of a conviction, the courts have a responsibility to intervene, even if that means dismissing serious criminal charges.
That's a really crucial principle to carry forward. It underscores the foundational importance of the integrity of the entire legal system.
Absolutely.
So here's a final point for our listeners to reflect on. In what other, perhaps less obvious circumstances, might government action so fundamentally undermine the fairness of the legal process that dismissal, however drastic it might seem, becomes the necessary and ethically sound response? It's a question that really compels you to think deeply about that delicate equilibrium between effective law enforcement and the indispensable protection of individual rights, a central tension that you will undoubtedly grapple with throughout your legal careers.